is Brad Lee back again with another episode of Dropping Bombs. Today in the studio, folks, as always, I got a real treat for you. Dimitri Lipinski up in this crib. If you guys don't know who this dude is, you can follow him at Dimitri Lipinski, L-I-P-I-N-S-K-I-Y.
I-Y.
And you guys might have heard of him just in the internet world because old Lee Haight and him had a little fight recently.
Yes, we did. It was a lot of fun.
And by the way, he's the host of Roofing Insights. He's got Business Hats podcast. He owns a roofing school where trains roofers how to make more money, scale their business, close deals, etc. And then you also have that software like Angie's List thing called Directory.
Yes, sir.
With an I.
With an I.
Is it Directory?
Directory, yeah.
And that's where you go if you want to hire a contractor that's legit.
Yeah.
So if you guys are listening and you need a contractor, go to Directory, yep, with an I.com.
We don't give bad recommendations.
And if you're a good contractor, well, then go register as one and pass their test. I would assume there's some sort of test.
We do background check, credit test. We back up every recommendation with a $20,000 guarantee. So if contractor on our list takes your money, runs away, abandon the job, start ghosting you, we will step in and pretty much pay people back.
Does that happen a lot?
It happened. We have 6 claims in 3 years. If you do good background check.
No, I mean, does it happen a lot to people?
Yeah.
When they just call contractors out of the blue?
Yeah. The scam is on a rise in construction world. It happens all the time. We actually cover news. We have a scam alert list too. So we have a lot of contractors we recommend, but we also call out contractors, who cannot be trusted. It happens all the time. And so actually on the rise because buying power in this country is amazing. People trust, for people to write $10,000 check, it's not like, go to China, go to Russia and ask for that sale. Here it's easier. People have the money, you knock at the door, they trust you, they give you the money, and then you start ghosting them. What do you do? Now you have to go through a court system. It's hard to recoup, but it happens a lot, especially in the roofing industry because amounts are pretty big, even in Florida, after the hurricanes, all the time.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Siberia, the coldest place on earth.
Now, the Lee Haight fight, what was that? What started that whole beef between you two?
So I have a YouTube channel, Roofing Insights. I do a lot of interviews and stuff. What actually started 3 years ago, he had a lot of people who worked for him who were calling him out. He has a reputation of not paying people, like sales reps, and everybody has them. Everybody has disputes and stuff. But it started 3 years ago. I interview one of his top employee who got let go, and she was suing him for a couple $100,000, whatever. So I did a podcast with her, and she called him a Ponzi scheme. And I actually pushed back. If you watch the interview, nobody liked her. Like, it's not like I was trusting her, but I gave her, I interviewed him 2 times before that. And we're very different vibe, I guess, different business models. But because I had the interview with him, she came to me and she said, he runs a Ponzi scheme. I want to expose him. I said, let's do the interview. And actually in the interview, she starts saying, he runs a Ponzi scheme. I said, what made you say that? And she said, he goes through a lot of sales guys. I'm like, that does not make him a Ponzi scheme. That's not the definition. But of course, he got mad at me even to give her a room. So then I flew to his office to interview him again to answer to that interview. And during that interview, he was so mad. He actually got drunk outside of a restaurant. He's like, why don't you fight me? Why don't you fight me? Let's go. And he was like in my face. I'm like, dude, you're drunk. I'm not doing this. This is not my level. I'm not going to fight you, outside of a restaurant. Come on. Like, we're better than this. But it was the first time he wanted to do it. After that, his VP of sales quit on him, and same thing came in. It's like, dude, I worked for him for a couple of years. He screwed so many sales guys, and that's VP of sales now, right? So he runs his company. So he's like, can we do a podcast? So I do podcast with him, and of course Lee does not like it. So now he's getting really mad, and I mean, it's real life stories. Like, if you have a reputation of Lee goes, and he publicly speaks of it, he every year he loses like 70% of his sales guys. He's like, if you hire 10 people, 2/3 of them not going to work out. Well, the problem is you have disputes of those with those 2/3 of people, and that's his business model for the past 10 years. So you have a lot of people who have financial disputes with you, and now you have top executives who calls you out, calls you crook, calls you, you know, not honest, whatever. And me being in the roofing industry, the biggest channel, you know, sooner or later, I'm going to interview someone who says something. So it wasn't even me per se, but those interviews really got, you know, it fired up, and he's like, I'm done with you. We're going to fight. So he came actually to one of the expos, and after we agreed on the fight, he came and tried to like jump on me, like flinch me, and like, I didn't move. I don't care. I'm not afraid of you. Like, who do you think you are? And that's how it all started. Just giving voice to people who were exposing him from his own organization.
He's
going
to want to fight me next then. but I would have to let him come on and say his rebuttal.
Yeah.
Because everything you said is alleged.
I guess so. You can say it.
Why don't you guys end the beef?
It's ended. It's over. Like at the
But it isn't, because you just said it again. You just said it again, and this is probably a bigger podcast.
No. You asked me
now how there's billions of people that are going to hear.
You asked me how it started. I shared a story how it started. Oh.
But it did end?
Yeah.
You guys buddies now?
I wouldn't call it. He is actually here in Las Vegas. I want to meet him. He texted me 2 days ago, first time after the fight. He's like, I'm going to be at the expo. You want to meet up? I'm like, sure, let's take a picture. Let's be like, I told him beef is settled. I removed the videos that I made about him, like that I thought was disparaging or whatever. He thanked me for that. And that's it.
Why is it you think when people fight, they always like bond in a way? Like when you see people fighting in the UFC or wherever, when they're done, they're all, you know, hey man, good job, buddy. Like, why do you think that?
I think it's you earn the respect how you fight. Like, it doesn't always happen. I think if you follow like Mike Tyson's story, there's one or two people he did not shake hands. So there is a level of hate, level of build up to it. So a lot of it goes away at the end, but sometimes it doesn't. If it's too personal, it doesn't. If you watch Khabib and McGregor, you know, they were fighting. Even like Khabib was bigger, stronger. But if you listen to the fight, like McGregor actually was saying stuff to him during the fight. Like, oh, sorry, I said that. Sorry, you know, I didn't mean that. It was so personal because and Lee did the same thing. I was pissed at him for mocking my name. For me and my culture, you don't mock name. Like, I'm okay with the trash talk. I'm okay. Like, you can say F you, Dimitri, like, whatever. That does not offend me. But if you mock my name, that's like level of 5-year-old. You know, like, my kids don't mock names of other kids.
How do you mock a name?
He was calling me Petri, not Dimitri. And it's not like, I'm not pissed at it. Like, I'm not mad, but it's disrespectful. And I told him, I'm going to teach you how to spell my name, how to say my name. And now he calls me by my name.
Well, aren't you glad you won, though?
Oh, 100%.
Because if you didn't win, then you'd have to listen to it big time. But you also just boxed. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, I always thought, you know, boxing, you know, MMA, it's part of it. If you guys would have done MMA, do you think you would have won still?
It was a middle ground. So he has a 5 years experience on me, right? So he've done MMA, jiu-jitsu, all of that. I'm a CrossFitter. So I was big underdog. And the reason we did boxing, because, it, you know, a couple of months, you have to prepare. It's middle ground. Like, you come to boxing, I come to boxing. I can learn boxing. I cannot learn, like, jiu-jitsu or other stuff or grappling, right? Like, it would not be fair for me to challenge him for, you know, deadlift competition because I'm a stronger guy. You know, I have 5 years on him. I'm not going to say, like...
Why were you a deadlifter?
CrossFit. So I've done CrossFit for 5 years.
CrossFit's just... like jazzercise, isn't it?
No, what is it? It's Olympic weightlifting. It's gymnastics.
I'm just messing with you.
So, because you have all of that, like you have advantage at some areas, and he has advantage in MMA.
Now all the CrossFitters are going to want to come fight me.
Probably.
I'm not a CrossFitter. I guess I'm a, you know, exercise avoider. If I can help it. Oh, that's funny. So, no, I mean, you know, I know Lee probably as well as I know you. I mean, I don't hang around you guys, but sure. I talk to him. I talk to you a little bit. I thought he was going to win only because, dude, he's been fighting for a long time. Yeah. I thought, damn, dude, Dimitri's got balls. He's going to get in there and get his eye dotted. But, dude, you dotted his eye. It was pretty funny. I thought, man, that's funny.
Yeah.
I'm sure Lee thought it was funny too, but not that damn funny. I wonder if he's like, how the hell did that happen?
Well, it's,
did he
it's,
say he was all, sick? Did he say,
no, it's all mental. It's all mental. Honestly, it's, in boxing, here's what I believe boxing is. It's your background. It's how you're raised. I was listening to this boxing podcast, and this coach says, if someone wants to become a boxer, number one question I ask, do you have good parents? Do you have good, like, do you live good life? You're not a boxer. If you watch, like, Garcia and Gervonta's, like, you see one, you know, golden boy, like, good life. And another guy, you know, for him to be in the ring is the safest place on earth because he's seen death. Like, it's nothing to him. And Lee, you know, he grew up in America, good family. Like, he doesn't have my background. For me, you had to kill me in that ring to give up. You know, I lost the first round. He beat the shit out of me in the first round, and everybody's like, how are you still standing? I don't care. Like,
so I didn't watch the fight,
it's
but
it's a mental game. It's
so you
it's
outgassed not him.
I no, it wasn't just that. I
you had bigger heart.
That's what people say. That's what it's number one comment. I stood up. You know, for me, it was like fighting a bully. Like, I see the mad guy in front of me who wants to kill me, right? Keeps coming at me, and he just doesn't hurt me. I don't care. Like,
well, even when you guys were getting ready to do it, I the weigh-in or whatever, mm-hmm. when he went like this, yep. and he, you could see him like try to fucking yep. elbow you in the head.
I was
like,
calm.
You
collected.
Could see that he was pissed.
Yeah.
And I thought you don't want to be pissed when you fight.
You don't want to be pissed. You want to be calm. You want to control your body. You want to be collected in everything you do. I mean, before you go on a stage, you can't be nervous. You can't be, like, everybody knows it. It's hard. The mental game is the hardest in any sport. I mean, if you listen, like, you know, Tim Grover, you know, how he trained Jordan and all of the, it's all mental game. And for me, it was mental more than anything. Ooh. And mentally, I won that fight. He did not get under my skin. I was not afraid of him. My heart was not there. Like, I did not care what he's going to do. I knew I'm going to beat him up.
Have you been knocked out ever?
No. I mean, I've been punched.
No, I mean, like, in your life.
No.
Not a lot of people have been knocked out.
Yeah, no.
Well, congrats on the win.
Thank you.
Now let's talk about business, okay? Because you say you're from Siberia, but you came here when?
2005.
And you obviously found the roofing industry.
Eventually. I've joined the trades. I've done siding, cabinets. For 10 years, I was working with my hands. 2013, I started a roofing company, and then it took off from there.
I mean, roofing right now is a good industry.
Roofing always been good industry. It's most jobs are one-day jobs. It's fast turnaround. So if you compare it to any other trade, like I had my first business was flooring business in Atlanta. I sold it, moved to Minneapolis for personal reasons. And you have big tickets. You have fast jobs, you know, to do one job a day at $10,000-$15,000, you do the math. Like 100 jobs, it's already $1 million a year. So you can't do it like, dude, cabinets, for example. You cannot compare it to painting because everything else will require longer time, smaller amounts. Like if you're a remodeler for it, like I'll put it this way. Call any builder, any remodeler, and offer them a roofing job. No one gonna turn it down. Offer them cabinets, offer them in, they will take it. Nobody will ever in construction world will turn down the roofing job because all you have to do, find a sub, find someone to do the work, and everybody knows how to do that. Take the money, sign a contract to do the job, right? One day, easy turnaround. Also, with the reason I fell in love with it, I was in the flooring business before. And on the floors, you know, people walk on them. So you finish the job also in one day. But then you come back, you know, blue tape walls. When you paint them or cabinets, people pick you because they see it. They you did a brand new job on a flooring job. Your house is squeaky. People are like, oh, why is it squeaky here? Well, because you have a house that's 50 years old. But they paid you $5,000 for new floors, right? You finish $15,000 roofing job. You ask homeowner, how does it look? They're like, looks good to me. Yeah, looks good to me too. They don't go there. They don't check, right? It's the only trade that people get away with a average quality. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just cannot leak. As long as it doesn't leak, looks decent. You collect the payment, you go to the next job. People don't have to be home to do the work, right? If you're doing painting or flooring or cabinets or anything, windows, you have to arrange, you know, furniture. Who's going to be there? You know, arrangements have to be made to do anything in the house. On the roofing, people can be on vacation. People don't have to be there. So in many, many senses, it's one of the best trades. The money is there. It's competitive, but it's a beautiful business.
My uncles used to be in roofing, but they weren't rich. So I was exposed to roofing young. They used to pay me, I forget how much, and I would haul the shingles up the ladder, put it on the roof, and then go get another one.
It's a nasty job.
Whatever that job is.
Yeah.
But I just did it for like an hour and earned some money, and then I took off. I didn't work for them or anything, so I wouldn't say I was a roofer, but they were roofers. Nowadays, roofers that I talk to, they're not really roofers. They're salesmen of roofing.
Well, they're, people you talk to,
but they call themselves roofers, and they're not. The roofers are like my uncle. They're the ones that got up there and do it.
Well, there's business side and there's a trade side.
Well, who's the one that does it?
A roofer.
That's a roofer. Who sells it?
You can call them a roofing contractor, right? So, like, we call it, like, I would call myself, I'm a roofing contractor.
So the money's in contracting, not doing.
The money is in anything that you're good at. Like, I know guys who are subs, right? So, like, you can be B2B. Like, let's say you run 10 crews. That's your job. That's your business. And you work for, like, 5 roofing companies. I know guys who freaking have, you know, beautiful cars, houses paid off, and they're on the labor side. So all they do is
they're just
hire
charging more.
Huh?
They're just charging more than they're paying.
No, I mean, they do the work. Like, people who run the crew, everybody can make money. Like, I mean, if you, I would say this, if you actually work with your hands, like, I pay my guys like $350-$400 a day to do like roof repairs, you know, all around guys. You can make $500 a day with your hands doing actual labor job. And if you work 250 days a year, I mean, if you become really good at anything, you can make money. So not money is not only in sales. Of course, sales, you know, will get you there faster. But I would also argue that salespeople can make more money than business owners. Happens all the time. I know.
Definitely.
I know a lot of business owners in the roofing space who went bankrupt. But sales guys, you know, have nothing to lose. I mean, there are sales guys who don't get paid if company goes out of business. But when you run a business, you can mismanage money. You can acquire more debt than wealth. Happens all the time. We have one company right now. They're like $50 million in debt, and they did like $150, $170 million. So you take bigger risks when you run a business. On the labor side, if you work with your hands, I mean, you might be making $100,000-$120,000 a year. But it's a good job. It pays well. I mean, $100,000 a year, it's not a bad deal in construction.
Disagree. I would never be the roofer. Why? Because, dude, you can be the other one. What'd you call it? The contractor.
Contractor.
Yeah, that's who I'd be.
Not every.
Why? Because, dude, I'm not getting up there and doing the roofing. That shit's in the hot sun, depending on where you are. It's the dangerous. People can fall off and get hurt, and you're only getting your $40 an hour or whatever it is, or your $120
a
year.
But someone have to do the job.
Hey, that's not my problem. That's someone else's problem. And by the way, what I want to do is show people, hey, become a contractor. It's easy. You just go knock on the door, sign the deal, and then you got to go find someone to do the job. And like you're saying, there's lots of them out there.
I would say you can be happy doing absolutely anything. So I work with
Let me just clarify. Sure. Yes, I agree with that. Again, there are people that are happy. My whole family's filled with happy blue collar workers. And they do the work. Like, they're just, hey, and they're happy, dude. They are happy. They have life. They go home. Mm-hmm. They play softball on the weekends. They play with their kids. They don't want to be the contractor. They just want the steady stream of work so they can make their dough.
And there's something to it. What you just said, there's something to it. I don't know who needs to hear this, but you know the business. You meet a lot of people. You will meet more happy people who work with their hands, and because it brings satisfaction. Right. Yes, you're tired, you work hard, but you go home, rest to your family. Maybe you did not make a lot of money, but you're happy. How many people do you know who run businesses successful, maybe make a couple hundred thousand a year, but have drug addictions, suicidal, even take their lives? There is a lot of salespeople who, you know, figure out the money part and how to make money easy, but there's something missing. Because there's no purpose there oftentimes. Mm. And there's a lot of business owners who are miserable and a lot of salespeople who are miserable. But among hardworking people who actually work,
nobody's miserable.
You farmers, different. There's different problems, but
just don't know they're miserable.
I don't know. I met a lot of people who are very, very happy.
No, I would agree. I have a whole bunch of family that are happy technically. And that's what I tell people, you know, as long as you're happy, it doesn't really matter. But for me to be happy, I need to make a lot of money and I don't want to do the work. It's like, well, that's not good. Well, again, blue collar mentality maybe, but brother, I promise you, if I can go out and make $20 million selling roofs and pay someone $15 million to do the roofs, what does that net me?
It's also, it's hard to go back. Once you learn something, you know, once you start flying first class, it's hard to go main cabin, right? Like, once you stay in nicer hotels, it's not. And the same in business. Once you become good at something, like, let's say in a trade, like, once you start making $50 an hour, you can't go back to 15, 20, because now you're worth more. You know something that you didn't do before. And that's why I do what I do even with the roofing school. I can take a lot of guys who knows how to work with their hands. They're hardworking guys, but they're missing a little bit of business advice. Business is not complicated, but you have to learn how to become a closer. Like, you have to have a closing coach, someone who will help you to sell. Little things. Once you learn them, you're never going back. But, you know,
eventually you'll stop doing the work. You'll hire someone else to do it.
You will be delegating, yes. But you still do the work. It's just different work. Office work is work.
Yeah, but you just touched exactly what I meant. Like, eventually you're not going to be the one hammering the shingles into the freaking plywood.
I agree. And nobody should do it. It's, you know, if you run a restaurant, you should not be in the kitchen making sandwiches, but there's nothing wrong with owner.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. Everyone always wants to act like I'm saying there's something wrong with it.
100%.
But I'm not. Like, again, my whole family, I would say there's something wrong with them.
You will grow out of that position.
Dude, my dad was a warehouse mill worker, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For pretty much his whole life. Had a little entrepreneurial spurt, but mainly blue collar. All my brothers and sisters, blue collar. Truck drivers, freaking loggers, freaking none of them salespeople, except me. And when I got laughed at because I was a salesperson, get a real job, I'm the only one that's now loaded.
Let me ask you this. With all of that, would you agree? What advice would you give young people? Because we have a big problem in the country right now that everybody wants to be on their phones, influencers, right? Everybody wants a sales job. Everybody yep. wants an office job. Nobody wants to work with their hands.
Yep.
Would you recommend a youngster to start on the field, to start as a roofer and then grow from there?
Well, no, because again, no, I wouldn't. I would tell them to start selling. Why would you have to start doing the hard work? It's better if you understand it, but you don't need to. But here's what I would say to the young people if I wanted to promote the hands-on work is you better learn it, and not for the reason you think. I believe AI is going to get advanced, and it's going to take all the phone jobs and the sales jobs and the non-labor jobs, but I don't see AI putting a roof on your house. I don't see AI.
There's job security there.
Dude, and it's going to get more expensive because now who's going to do it?
Oh, it's happening now.
Well, the prices start going up, and pretty soon, dude, the blue collar is going to be the white collar, and the white collar is going to be working for the blue collar. Why? Well, because AI is doing all the thinking, and that used to be the white collar. It was the thinking. Blue collar was the labor. It was the back. It was the muscle, mm-hmm. right? White collar was the brains. Well, AI is replacing the brains. It's not replacing the muscle. Mm-hmm. So I would tell the kid, go out and learn these trades, because eventually that's going to be the golden trades.
And right now it's happening. I have a couple of friends who, you know, they have paid off houses, they have beautiful lifestyle, and they're all immigrants like myself. You know, they either install windows, siding.
They started painting. That way.
They still do it, but they today in this economy, in this market, you can get so much. Like I hired this carpet guy the other day, you know, $800 a day. He's there from like 9 to 3, not even like full day, like 6 hours of work, $800. It's good money. And he's always busy. Like if you're good at something, if you have a like real skill, everybody talks about you, everybody refers you. And I'm talking about guys who don't run huge companies. They're just happy with their trade. They're like craftsmen, true craftsmen. And I'm remodeling my house. So
we have a shortage of those, don't we?
Yes, we have a shortage. So the rate is high. They're in demand. They know that. Those guys making $1,000 a day, easy. Every day they work. You work around their schedule, not the other way around. I mean, $1,000 a day for carpenter.
Where do you learn these trades? Like, are there trade schools that teach carpentry and all this?
No, this is what people don't realize about the United States of America. I came from Russia, right? In this country, they will pay you while they teach you. Like nowhere else. Like in my country, you have to go to school. I came here. I did not know crap. I had 5 years in university or college, right? I was supposed to be a teacher. Now I teach roofers how to do business. But I was a student in Russia. So I came here and, you know, you go hang siding. They pay you $20 as a helper to hang siding. Do it for 6 months and go do it on your own. You want to learn how to do brick? Go work for brick company. No experience required in most small businesses. Work for roofing company, painting company, like any construction job. They will pay you to teach you to become good. You want to get in technicals like HVAC, electrician, the same thing. They will hire you with no experience whatsoever. They'll pay you decent wage while you're learning it. And if you have good head, within 2 years, you'll run your own business.
See, that sounds like a path to freedom.
It is a path.
To financial freedom.
My first job was $10 an hour, siding. That's what I did.
But you did it. You were a laborer.
Yeah.
I call them laborers.
Yeah, I was labor.
You're not a laborer anymore.
I'm not labor anymore, but I worked for a year in a cabinet shop, $13 an hour.
Laborer?
Labor.
But you're not a laborer anymore.
Not anymore.
See what I'm saying? The goal is to stop being a laborer.
Now I know how to run a business.
I know, but it seems like you defend the laborers, and I'm not trying to offend the laborers, but it sounds like you are trying to say, hey, there's nothing wrong with being laborers. True. But that's not your goal.
So think about this.
The goal is to not do the labor. The goal is to get the job, because if the laborer could get the job, they wouldn't need you, the contractor. Because if I knew how to do the roof and I knew where the roof job was, why am I taking money from you to do the roof? Why wouldn't I just take the money for me to do the roof? True. Which is what I'm trying to tell some of these roofer guys, like, that do the roof. Like, dude, figure out how to get the job and you don't have to work for these contractors, because the contractor dude is just getting the job, right?
Not to say, he runs the business. Business is complicated. It's accounting, it's sales.
I see a little damage up there. You want me to get up there and do an inspection? The homeowner goes, absolutely, get on up there. Hey, you know the insurance will pay for all this, and it's messed up there. I don't know if there was a hail damage or you had a freaking 200-pound crow up there walking around, well, but you got some shit wrong, and I can fix it. You want me to fix it? They say, yeah. Now I go to your insurance company, and I say, hey, look, this is a problem. They say it's approved. I get the $25,000 check, and then I give some laborer $12,000 to do the job. And then I go, thank you. And while you're doing the job, for half the money? I'm at the neighbor going, hey, I just fixed Bob's roof over there. You want me to hop up there and see what you got while we're in the neighborhood? We can do it better and faster than anything because we're already here doing Bob's roof. And then the neighbor goes, yeah, you can get on up there. And it repeats. And guess who's doing all the work? The guy following behind that guy doing all the work. The guy knocking on doors, running his mouth. He's making the most money.
Question for you.
And he's doing the least amount of work. And again, I don't mind admitting that's what I would prefer to do. Question I don't want to do the work. I'm happy, by the way. Like I'm doing the work, because to me, that is work.
But question for you. 80% of contractors who you just described go out of business within 2 years.
Probably because they can't sell, close, and persuade, or influence, or market.
Well, so it's not that easy. So it's what you described.
It's easier than doing the work.
Running business, there's a lot of headaches. There's a lot of moving parts. You have to be a good leader. You have to manage. You have to know your overhead. You know, you have to be very good at financing. It's managing money is not easy because by the time you, what's the overhead? What's the break even point? Like who's going to pay for the office, for the wages, for the cars, for the insurances, all of that stuff. How many jobs do you have to do per month just to stay afloat? How many of those door knocks? Yes, it's easier than physical labor, but let's say you need to sell 20 jobs per month and you sold 18. Yeah. You know, you're losing money, you're going in debt.
It's called an investment.
I'm just saying, it's not that easy. Not everybody can do it. But on the labor side, you can do the work. You can build a crew and actually do the work. You'll never lose money. You'll never file bankruptcy. You'll never take that risk.
Yeah, so what you're saying is there's good sides to both sides.
100%. There's way more headaches for the business owner. Like there's mental part of running a business. There's a lot of stress. Like I deal with the business owners who, like how many business owners quit in the roofing business? They close doors. They don't want it anymore. I've seen companies go out like 20, 25 million. Even what you described, you know, door knocking after insurance. Yeah, insurance pays. But what do you do when there's no recent hails and competition? Don't even start there. There, you know, market is saturated. What neighborhoods to knock, where to go? You need apps. You need like
you need to be organized. Market.
Yeah, there's a lot
You also should probably take care of the customers that you have. And if it were me and I was in the roofing business, I would figure out some sort of maintenance program to where they already know who to call before there's a hail damage. They're not going to wait for the 100%. Roof to be damaged. They're going to call me from the second they buy that house.
But meanwhile, you have to be open 12 months out of the year, not only for the summer, not only after the hail. There's a lot of moving parts. So it's both parts are hard. You know, I know a lot of nice guys who run the roofing companies, and it seems easy because everybody's counting your money. You know, everybody's like, oh, you do 4 or 5 million a year, but they don't count, you know, they don't count expenses, liability. I mean, what do you do when even your sub, you're a contractor, when something happens on your job, when OSHA finds you? Yeah, exactly. We have one contractor just right now fined $740,000 by OSHA. Because they just go, chick, chick. It's like, oh, you did not train your subs. Like, fine goes to you.
You know, that's the kind of training you should put in your system.
We do.
What's that? Like safety training? OSHA training?
Yeah.
Because OSHA training's free for you to get, you know.
Well, but try to train your guys. Everybody, here's the big problem in the roofing industry right now, right? So you're the business owner, you're the contractor, you do the easy part. Now you hire subs and you tell them, hey guys, here's harnesses, use them. And they're like, we don't need them. How do you make your sub to use it? And what do you do when they don't want to use it because they're all machos? They're all
disclaimers.
Men. Huh?
They waivers.
They don't want to do it.
What do you mean? You sign a waiver if you want to work here.
I get it. But if nobody wants to do it, so it's a real problem because it's hard to find.
Nobody wants to wear the harness or nobody wants to sign the waiver?
Nobody wants to. Well, it doesn't matter what they sign. If they're not wearing it and you catch them, I mean, you have option, right? Like let you go and now you're not going to have crews in no time because let's say I'm your competition and I don't care for that. So they're like, screw Dimitri. I'm not going to work for him. He makes me want to wear harness. I'll work for this guy instead. And meanwhile, nobody wants, like, you want to follow the rules and nobody wants to work for you because it's regulated. A roofing contractor is the target for the government, for the OSHA, for all the fines, for everything. It's not even a Saab. But Saabs are hard to train because they don't want to follow all the rules. Mm. So it's not as easy as it sounds.
What if you develop something that works for that?
We try, and every company tries to find their way, but the problem is real, and it's getting harder and harder because labor shortages, you know, we do have, like, right now in Florida, there are so many companies who cannot find decent crews because after they passed the immigration law, so a lot of roofers just left the state. They went somewhere else because they start hunting them, like illegals and...
Well, that's probably why your roofing school's busy and your directory software is popular, because it's hard to find good, solid, legit contractors.
I solve the biggest problem that I see in front of me that I understand. The challenge you have with online platforms. So let's say you go to a Better Business Bureau to find a roofer, right? And let's say even you find them and they're an A-plus rated company. And then you give them money and tomorrow they file bankruptcy. Now what? BBB is not going to do anything. You know, for me, like when I give a recommendation, it means something. That's why we put $20,000 guarantee. If I give you a recommendation, if you use directory and... they took advantage of you, they stole your money, I feel like I owe you because I made you a recommendation.
Yeah, that's good.
And all of those companies who like your Home Advisor, your AngelList, your BBB, they don't do it. And I don't understand. How can you advertise that you have best contractors? Because when they fold or they do something, you're not responsible. So you still hire at your own risk.
So would Lee Haight be an authorized roofer on directory?
He wouldn't be qualified because our minimum requirements is 4.5 stars. His company, I believe, 4.2 maybe. So it's actually when you enroll, you have to have online rating at least 4.5 or higher. Let's say you enroll and you're 4.6. The moment your reputation drops below 4.5, we monitor the feedback. Because for me, let's say I recommend you have 100 Google reviews. Before company goes out of business, they usually get a lot of complaints. Usually one star rate, like, oh, we gave them deposit and 3 months ago, they still didn't do the work. Like all of like real complaints. So we monitor them. Like why people are pissed with this company and what's happening. So the moment it starts dropping below 4.5, our system alerts us and we start investigating because it's my liability. If I'm recommending someone, I back them up with own money, with my money. And I watch for bankruptcies, I watch for theft, I watch for any unethical behavior. And for me, when I see a pattern, I start an investigation. I call them. I was like, hey, are you going to close doors? Are you going to file bankruptcy? You're not paying your suppliers. You're not doing your jobs. And Lee Haight couldn't even get on the system because he doesn't have 4.5 star rating.
Well, how is he doing so much business?
Well, first of all, he doesn't do as much as he says he is.
Well, what about his dad's company?
Well, they own it together.
Well, that company doesn't do what they say?
Well, he claims he does 100 million, he does 60, which is a lot. 60 million is a lot, but it's not 100.
It's true, but 60 million still. How's he doing 60 million with bad reviews? And by the way, 4.5 is not bad out of 5, is it?
Yeah, he's less than that. Our minimum requirement is 4.5.
Well, dude, you know...
He's I believe it's like 4.3.
I don't know the rating system, though, but you probably do. So as long as it's fair, because, dude, some people give bad reviews because they're dickheads.
Well...
I guarantee you, you go to like Uber. Now, in Uber, anytime I take an Uber, I never say shit to the driver. I'm always nice. I always tip good. I always do everything. The other day, I'm looking and freaking, they rate you.
Yeah.
I'm like rated like a 4.8. And I'm like, how would I not be stars?
It's impossible.
But who said any shit about me? I didn't do anything. What kind of a dickhead? They probably said, this guy thinks he's so cool. Yeah. And just hit me. Well, that's not fair, bro.
I agree.
And you can see sometimes when people threaten you with, I'll go to Google and give you a bad review. I'm gonna talk about you on Yelp. You better do something for me. I hate that shit. You ever heard of Green Door?
No.
Is it Green Door? Green Glass? Glass Door.
Glass Door.
Yeah, Green Door is a swingers bar. Glass Door is what I'm talking about. Glass Door.
You're confused there.
Well, there's a place in Vegas called the Green Door.
Is it
and
good?
It literally is a swingers club. I went there a long ass time ago. When I first moved here, it was still around. Green Door. And so we went in there, dude, and sure enough, boy, it was crazy. Folks, I'm not advertising the Green Door, but it does exist. If you're ever in Vegas, look up the Green Door. Make sure they tell them I sent you so I get my commission. No, just joking. But that's where I got Green Door. It's glass door.
Yeah.
Because it's basically where
your employees rate you.
Employees fucking rate you. Well, dude, that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard of. Okay, I fire somebody, they go to Glassdoor, get their revenge, and now all of a sudden you're going to look at a Glassdoor fucking review.
But you ask for good employees who stays with you.
Well, guess what I started? I haven't fully launched it yet, but I got nightmareemployees.com.
Okay.
And it's for business owners to do the same thing. It's like a Glassdoor, but for business owners. Yeah, let's fucking post like these deadbeat asshole employees that do nothing but cause shit. You know, so now when you go get a job, someone's going to go check nightmare employees. And if you're on that bitch, beat it. Like, let's business owners stick together, because that's what they're doing on the glass door bullshit.
Number one request that I had for years is to build a platform that ranks homeowners, because business owners are tired of, you know, all the negative reviews we get. Like, how about we have something for the homeowners? Because homeowners, you know, can be very shitty too.
Or better, homeowner associations. Those dickheads think they own the fucking world.
100%.
But Glassdoor, if you look at my ratings, I'm like a 3.7 to work here. Yeah. Go ask everybody that works here. They'll say, oh, fucking 5 stars. The only people that talk shit are the ones that don't get to work here. So how is that? Like, so I'm just saying, just because Lee's a 4.5, dude, that's pretty good rating out of 5.
4.3.
Okay, that's still a 4 above. Maybe he had some asshole. Maybe some employees were good. He fired them, and they went and told you. And then you put him on the air and said, what happened? And he's, oh, he's a piece of shit. He don't fucking help me. And sure enough, that wasn't the story at all. How do you know that's the truth?
Patterns. When you have 10 people saying the same thing, it's it's a reputation. Here's what I would argue on that. You are not what you say you are as far as business. It's what Google says you are. So your reputation,
see what it says.
If you have 1,000 Google reviews, right?
Can you look up Lightspeed and see what it says? I'd love to know. And anybody that listens to that stupid shit is not very bright, if you ask me.
Lightspeed reviews.
What am I? What's light speed? And by the way, it should be flawless. What does it say? 4.5. Now, I wouldn't qualify.
You would qualify.
I would? Okay, good.
4.5 is a threshold.
Oh, good. Why ain't I a 5? I never screwed nobody. That's the truth.
But it's not about...
I have a refund policy, and I've given people refunds. Why? Because we dropped the ball. And they're like, well, I can't believe you gave me my money back. I'm like, well, dude, I don't want your money unless I can help. See what I'm saying? Like, I'm a real honest businessman, and I got a 4.5.
You can't please everyone. I mean, have you ever seen...
That's why I think you should lower it to 4.0.
No, but think you have to have a class. You have to... my job is recommend the best of the best. Not... You know how many bad contractors are out there? If you're a contractor with a 4-star, it means, like, just by... odds, right? Like, if you look at 100 reviews and you have 20 people out of 100 who gave you bad rating, that speaks volumes. You're like, I've been a contractor myself. Yes, you know, I had 700 reviews on AngelList back in the day. I remember I had 60 positive reviews and I had one first F. They have A to...
And let me ask a question. Was it a legitimate bitch?
Yes, 100%.
So you screwed the guy.
No. I was late, stuck in traffic. I was 20 minutes late.
Yeah, it doesn't make you a piece of shit, is my point. So that was not legitimate.
It was not. Well, she was legit bitch.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
See? And screwed you.
Yeah. I could not sleep that night. It affected me back then because it was first negative review that I ever got. And for what? For being 5 minutes late for the estimate?
It's the same thing with it's the same thing with credit cards. You know, if you have a Stripe account, or you should have merchant processing through me, by the way, Real Merchant Services, go click it. We save you a ton of money and we're not woke and, you know, we'll help you.
Is it better than Stripe?
Oh, shit, dude. We're taking people off Stripe left and right. RealMerchantServices.com. Little free plug for myself. But in reality, if you have a Stripe account or some merchant processing account and somebody buys with a credit card, they can go dispute the credit card without anything. And then you've got a certain amount of time to respond and yada, yada, yada. Dude, 9 times out of 10, they're going with the consumer. It's just, and so ultimately what you get is a, you know, rating as a merchant, because man, if everybody wants a refund, you're probably not doing very good business, which is true if everybody wants a refund. But on occasion, dude, somebody doesn't even ask you for a refund. They use the credit card, so they know that they just go bink and dispute the credit card and they get their money back and you deal with the bad mark. That's not fair. It's guys, be honest, be real.
It's not fair, but it's part of the business.
But I like your model, because you're vetting them, you're double vetting them on directory.
And you have to also, with the contractors, you have to vet them as far as finances goes, because a lot of them don't pay their bills, don't pay their suppliers. Like I had one that, you know, we got a call that they about to file bankruptcy. He was listed. So I called him, are you going to file bankruptcy? And, oh, I'm not. He was not paying his supplier a couple million bucks. And every time that happened.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah. And like $10 million company. And for 10 years, they were reputable. Everything was good. Sure enough, within 6 months, they filed bankruptcy. But the guy kept lying to me. I'm like, something is not right. So we removed him. Then 6 months later, he filed bankruptcy. But see, at the end, that's the highest risk. If you recommend someone and towards the end, you know, lost 20, 30, 50 jobs, that's the victims. That's the people who's not going to do the work. That's the people who's going to end up in lawsuits. Because they're robbing Peter to pay Paul. They're collecting checks, using them as investment, pretty much running like a Ponzi scheme. If you look at the investment scams, same thing. It's the lost customers. It's not the first one who got paid, right? Got his money back. It's the last one. So in what I do is the same thing. So I recommend you, but then at the end, if I know you're going to fold, your lost customers is going to be my liability. So I better kick you out before that happened and put you on a scam alert list. Hey, don't do business with this company, or you might get screwed. And it happens all the
time. Well, that alone's worth subscription to.
Yeah, 100%.
Is it free, or how much does that cost?
It's $49 for the contractors to be listed on it per month, and it's free for the homeowners. They just have to, contractors, once they get jobs, they register jobs, it's 1.5% on the transaction. So we don't sell leads, we're not lead generation company. So you register the job, after you got paid and everything, homeowner gets their protection, contractor pays 1.5%. So contractors pays for it, but less than credit card fee. But you sell, think about this as a,
all your contractors need real merchant services.
Think about this as a better business bureau. Like that's what it is. Like if I'm a contractor and sell to you a service and you ask me, well, why would I choose you? What's the guarantee that you're not going to screw me? Well, this is the service. If they say, well, I'm a better business bureau accredited, what does that mean? I still can screw you. I still can steal your money. Like, there's no protection with the BBB, right? They've been doing it for 100 years. They're a non-profit organization, by the way. But there's nothing for the contractor, or actually for, there's, it's a false sense of security. For me, I'm like real insurance. If you hire me and I screw you, they're going to pay you.
Like, yeah. Well, dude, that's like almost like insurance. Folks,
yeah.
If you're out there, you're looking to hire a contractor, go to directory. You're looking to... If you are a contractor that obviously has a pretty good reputation and good financials and you want business, go to directory. Otherwise, go to DmitryLipinski.com or what's your roofingschool.com?
Roofing-school.com.
Roofing-school.com to learn the trades, learn how to grow and scale your business. Dude, I appreciate you coming in. Hope to see you around. Hope to see you at your next bout. Who's your next bout with?
There's going to be none. We're done.
We're done. Folks, appreciate you as always. Till next time, keep it real.